This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and many different ways to connect with us tonight. We love to hear from all of our listeners across the country. You can send us a tweet at E-Radio Sports. Always take time to email the show info at eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Also, as a reminder, you can listen anywhere, anytime with the SB Nation Radio mobile app. Catch all your favorite SB Nation Radio shows live or on demand right from your smart device. Well, right now, we're going to open our mic back up in studio, kicking it, hanging out with the Big E, Robert Harris, our producer at SB Nation. And I know, Robert, in hour one, hey, we talked about, did a recap, Clemson taking care of business against the Crimson Tide. Let's shift gears. We got some big games this weekend when we talk about the NFL, especially the AFC Divisional Playoff. Who you got more confidence in, Luck or Patrick Mahomes? Who's going to win in that Saturday matchup, 4:35 Eastern Time kickoff?
I would love to see Patrick Mahomes have that confidence. I mean, this is his quote-unquote first year, the rookie season of the NFL. I want to see him come out and play with that same aggression as he did in the regular season, leading the NFL in 50 touchdown passes. He's at home. Arrowhead is a tough place to play at. Very noisy stadium. I think he has the most confidence heading into this game.
Okay, so do you anticipate that this is going to be a shootout between these two offenses?
You might see that. You might see that. You've seen that at one point in time when Alex Smith was the quarterback at Lucas Oil Stadium, and became a shootout when the Chiefs were up 38-10 and the Colts came back to win that game. So you might see a shootout in this game.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. We got to talk about Dallas. They're going to be on the road at the Rams. What is the key to beating the Rams?
The key to beating the Rams is just containing Jared Goff, keeping him in the pocket, make some more turnovers like the Bears did, make a lot of turnovers like they did, force the guy to throw the ball when he doesn't want to.
We're going to keep breaking it all down, the divisional playoffs. Also, we're going to take time for some men's college basketball. Our good friend of the program, Lee Klein, host of That Bracket Show. Yep, he's back at SB Nation Radio on Friday nights. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 2.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you. Many different ways to connect with us. You can join us at Twitter, at E-Radio Sports. Email the show, info, eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Right now, we are going to completely shift gears, and we're delighted to have back with us to hit on a number of subjects here in 2019 on marketing, on personal brands, and that is one of the Big E's favorites, the CEO of Block 6 Analytics, who's trying to stay warm up in New York City. Adam, good evening. It's nice to have you with us. It's a little crazy right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a little crazy. Good to be here.
Well, it's a big night, so we wanted to get your thoughts and open up our discussion this evening on in-game betting broadcasts, how that impacts sponsorship, because tonight NBC Sports Washington is carrying an interactive alternate telecast of the Wizards-Bucks game. And so just kind of take us through this, and just what is the overall goal of this broadcast? What are they trying to achieve, Adam?
Yeah, I think the main thing that they're trying to achieve is to get fans used to what it's going to be like for in-game betting, in particular having different stats, having different information, particularly about different players. The idea is that there's, beyond just the outcome of the game, there's a ton of different bets that you can make, you know, whether a player's going to score a certain amount of points, whether a team's going to score a certain number of points, you know, whether there's going to be a certain number of steals, blocks. There's all these types of bets that can be made, and the idea is that the more people are betting on sports, the more likely they are to be engaged with the team, and purely from a television perspective, the more likely they are to watch the game. And then from a sponsorship perspective, having increased fan engagement means that companies and teams are going to be more likely to be able to reach those fans, and the fans will be engaged with the content in ways where you can start to do some creative advertising, creative messaging to reach those fans. So, you know, there's a lot of different, this is not necessarily the first overall first time the LA Clippers have experimented with something like this as well, but it's definitely something I think you'll see more in broadcast. Particularly as legalized sports betting becomes more prevalent throughout the country.
And it is becoming more prevalent. I was just going to ask you this. Is this kind of the hottest, the new trend that we're going to see more and more of, even here in 2019?
Oh, definitely. I mean, legalized sports betting, it's really just a matter of how quickly states can pass legislation. So each in the ruling by the Supreme Court that overturned the law that was, you know, it was called PAPSA, but it's essentially the law that outlawed sports betting in everywhere except for Las Vegas and some places in New Jersey. Once that was overturned, it's still up to the states to be required to pass legislation to have a specific legal regime in those states that about sports betting. And certain operators will have licenses to sports betting, but that process takes time. And over 2019, that will be one of the top agenda items for a lot of state legislatures because they see a lot of potential increase in tax revenue coming from sports gambling,
right.
And that's something that will be a priority for those legislators.
Hey, we're glad you're with us on this Friday night. Hour two, it is flying by. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and good to have back with us on our program tonight, and that is Adam Grossman. He does it all, CEO, founder of Block 6 Analytics, also a co-author of the book, The Sports Strategist. We're ready for another book to come out. When's that going to happen, Adam? No pressure. Come on.
My co-authors are actually talking about the next book in particular, but one of the topics we're looking at is the impact of crisis and crisis communication in sports. Mm-hmm. So that may be on the way, but there's a couple different ideas that we're talking about.
Interesting. That would be definitely a fascinating read. So let's continue here with our discussion. I mean, let's talk about some of the positives of legal sports gambling. Obviously, this is a hot trend, and it's one of the things that we have talked about in the past on our program. And so what's going to be the key for this potential audience growth and for fans, as you were just talking about, increased fan engagement in this process?
Yeah, I think it's just more... One of the things we talked about in our most recent blog post at Block 6 Analytics is that, you know, sports teams often talk about fans being invested in their franchises. Well, now they're literally invested in the outcome if they're gambling on it. Increasing that level of investment in both a literal and figurative way will drive, you know, what sports organizations believe are increased ticket sales, increased merchandise sales, increased sponsorship sales, new sponsorship opportunities. Both in own channels, so like if you're talking about in Houston, you know, the Houston Rockets own
right.
their own Twitter account, Facebook account, Instagram account. So they'll be able to promote this type of content throughout social media channels, but also that other fans will just start talking about it naturally in their conversation and increasing the level of conversation, you know, what's called earned conversation, where, you know, other people are talking about the content that you're creating. Is something that's very valuable to sports organizations. So Mark Cuban said, you know, he thinks that every sports team in the major four professional leagues, their valuation doubled with the passage of sports gambling. And it's not necessarily because one of the things that these leagues were pursuing is charging what's called an integrity fee, where basically they would take a percentage of each gambling transaction and making sure that those transactions were legal and they followed all the parameters of law. That hasn't really gone anywhere, but from a state legislator or from a nationalized perspective. And that may come in the future, but all of the other revenue streams that are critical to sports, television deals, streaming deals, sponsorship, merchandise, licensing, events, hospitality, those are all directly impacted by gambling.
Well, we're going to hit on a variety of subjects tonight with our guest, Adam Grossman, CEO, founder of Block 6 Analytics. Check him out, Block6Analytics.com. And, you know, certainly, Adam, while we have you on the program tonight, we wanted to do a recap. We have been doing a recap of the national championship game. Clemson, obviously, able to take care of a business against Alabama. But in the month of December, on one of your blogs, you had talked about the college football playoff teams in regards to which is the most likable. Now, you know I'm a proud Sooner, so I'm thinking that you selected Boomer Sooner, Oklahoma. What say you? Who is the most desirable, the most likable team out of the
Yeah, well, I mean, we took a look at it, and actually we should update that after the playoffs because, you know, there is definitely a component of, you know, winning does impact overall sentiment.
You
so
bet.
What we did is Yeah, what we did is we looked at overall Twitter conversation and use our social sentiment analysis platform, which basically looks at conversation and analyzes it to see if conversation is positive or negative and how positive or negative that conversation is. And what we consistently find is that while there is a correlation between winning, it's not the only thing. And there's definitely strong fan bases who really speak positively about their schools, regardless of how the team is performing. Now, in our original post, before the playoffs, we actually found that Washington State had the most favorable fan base. And obviously, Washington State had a very good year, including getting to the Pac-12 championship game. But within the core, you know, we want to really focus on, particularly with the announcement of the four playoff teams, where we included, you know, Ohio State in our analysis and Georgia in our analysis to see what the level of conversation was. And that was really, you know, it's interesting to see the results. And like you said, you can see them in USA Today. But it is, you know, there's definitely a lot of favorable conversation, and you do want to track it over the course of the events. But I think that's one thing that's unique to sports, is that fans are really passionate about their teams. Yes, they do get upset when they lose, but it's not like they're all of a sudden not passionate or don't have that connection or don't have that level of engagement. So even though Alabama lost, and lost obviously pretty badly, you know, their fan support is going to be strong. And arguably, you know, because there's a clear new challenge where Clemson represents obviously a very strong competitor over the next couple of years, that there might be even a higher level of engagement and sentiment on a go-forward basis for the Alabama fan base. And same with Oklahoma, you know, having an exciting program, an exciting, with obviously they had back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. All that can help to build engagement both now and in the future.
Were you surprised that Clemson received the highest percentage of negative tweets for the season?
Not necessarily, because they hadn't really. I think one of the things that happened is that, you know, they hadn't played that difficult of a schedule. Plus, you know, and now, you know, obviously there's been some off the field issues with certain of their players, particularly as it led up to the playoff. But the idea, I think, is that, you know, I think for them it just. They had a quarterback change. There was a lot of things going on that potentially people were not, you know, thrilled with. It wasn't clear if they were going to be as competitive or as good as they ended up being. Mm-hmm. And that can drive the conversation. But again, while it was definitely the most negative, it's, you know, there's still a strong support and a strong fan base there.
Well, Clemson obviously was able to take care of his second title in 3 years. And our guest tonight has been Adam Grossman, CEO and founder of Block 6 Analytics. As I mentioned earlier, co-author of his book, The Sports Strategist. Much more coming your way from Adam, Block6Analytics.com. And we look forward to our next conversation, and we will take a deep dive in predicting success in sports sponsorship. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, Adam. Talk soon, okay?
Happy New Year to you, and talk to you soon.
Of course, much more coming your way right here. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back and Happy New Year, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next segment, as always, we've got to take time to thank the folks and recognize the ones that power us, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, it is time to hit the hardwood, and we are ready for some NBA news and notes, and we're going to highlight and hit on a number of storylines in 2019. Mitch Lawrence back with us. Sirius XM NBA Radio. He does it all. Check him out. Sporting News and Forbes. Mitch, it's good to have you back in the saddle.
Well, it's great to be here. Happy 2019. Looking forward to another big year.
Okay. Well, we had a big game the other night here in Houston, and unfortunately for the Rockets, they were unable to come out on top and beat the Bucks. So talk to me about that. I mean, James Harden, he had an impressive stat line, but what went wrong?
Well, I mean, you know, he's been playing at such an unbelievable level over the last few weeks to get that team from, 14th place to 4th place in the West. So they've made this dramatic ascent. And you know what? A lot of it has been just James Harden, because the loss of Chris Paul obviously sets Houston back. It never worked out with Carmelo Anthony. You've got Eric Gordon out. So when you look at what's surrounding him, you know, Clint Capella and these other guys, don't get me wrong, they're nice players, but James isn't exactly surrounded by, you know, the Chris Pauls and the Eric Gordons and the guys he needs. So there are going to be games like this where Milwaukee comes in a big moment for them. I mean, let's not forget, Milwaukee is a team on the rise in the East. They've got a player, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's a lot of people think is, you know, the MVP. And for them to come into Houston, I mean, that's just a deal where the Rockets got outplayed by a team that's kind of on a roll. And I think that, you know, as much as James Harden tried to do to help that team win, there are just some nights where you're kind of outmanned in that situation.
Well, the Bucks certainly are. They are having an incredible season. We're going to touch on that. But also, you know, when we look at the stat sheet, I mean, there was just too many turnovers for the Rockets. I mean, they had a total of 19. They've got to do a much better job taking care of their basketball.
Yeah, and in the third quarter, and that big run Milwaukee had, I mean, they pounded the ball inside. They got in the paint. Brooke Lopez did a tremendous job, you know, with some blocks, altering shots. They closed down the areas the Rockets like to score in around the rim with Harden attacking. So, well-devised game plan by Mike Budenholzer. You know, this is not unusual for Milwaukee in terms of posting a big win. I know Golden State's not this, you know, a team that's just, you know, killing everybody, but they did go into Oakland earlier this year and had a similar type of game with their points in the paint and how they attack. So that's what Milwaukee can do. Whether they can sustain that with their present roster, it's going to be interesting to see if they can, if they're going to add anyone. But, yeah, this is a Milwaukee's obviously, you know, at this halfway point, one of the top teams in the East and a force to be reckoned with.
Okay, another hit on Harden, of course, 42-11-6. You know, but unable to come away with the win. So does this loss, does this hurt James Harden's MVP campaign?
Oh, no, not at all. As a matter of fact, you're talking to a guy who, before the year, they do a big poll over at Sirius, and they want to get us all our preseason predictions. And I predicted James Harden was going to be a back-to-back MVP, just like Mike D'Antoni in Phoenix at Steve Nash. Well, you know, I'm figuring, look, I didn't know if the Rockets are going to win 67 games. I thought the team wouldn't be as good. But as long as, you know, James is playing at a level he played at last year, and in Mike D'Antoni's offense, why not go with the hot hand? And I knew that, you know, there are other players. You're going to have LeBron with the Lakers until the injury. You've got, obviously, Kawhi Leonard maybe in Toronto, although he's missed some games. Giannis and Antetokounmpo, Paul George. But I figured, hey, let's not lose fact of what James Harden could do on the basketball court every night. I mean, and even this year, he's taken it to historic levels. So, yeah, he's definitely in the conversation.
Our special guest, Mitch Lawrence, back with us from SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA columnist in New York. Check him out, Sporting News and Forbes. And also give him a follow on Twitter, Mitch_Lawrence. You're talking about having a hot hand. Well, let's talk some more about the Bucks because it has just been a fantastic season. Give us that who, what, why. I mean, let's not forget, Mitch, it was just a few years ago they were the NBA's worst team. What's the keys to this dramatic improvement?
Well, obviously they've got a player in Giannis Antetokounmpo who's a MVP, you know, caliber type of player who, maybe not this year, but in the next few years, if he continues to work hard and he continues to climb the ladder, he's going to be an MVP player. He's got all the great earmarks of a guy. I mean, Jason Kidd early on when he was coaching him thought that he could be a dynamic player, a special player, and it looks like he's on there. I mean, the thing you love about Antetokounmpo, he's very humble. You talked about last night after the game that he wasn't an MVP quite yet. He wants to work towards that, but he's got a lot of work to do. He loves a small market in Milwaukee. That's things that we like covering the league. You like those guys to succeed. I remember, you know, years ago dealing with Karl Malone in Salt Lake City or Tim Duncan in San Antonio, guys who stayed with those teams throughout. I hope that's the same with Giannis. There's a long way to go, but it starts with him because he can change the game in so many different areas. And then, you know, the Chris Middletons, the Eric Bledsoes are key players for them. But I go right after Antetokounmpo. I really need to talk about the addition of a coach who is, you know, a really good coach in Mike Budenholzer. People down your way know him from years and years.
Oh, yeah.
At Greg Popovich's side in San Antonio. Did a great job in Atlanta. When he went over there, they won 60 games and were the best team in the regular season in the East. What was it, back in 2015? Mike was coach of the year. And then, you know, slowly but surely, they kind of pulled the rug out from under him in Atlanta when they decided to ship off all of his players or let these players like Millsap and Damari Carroll and Kyle Korver, there was Jeff Teague, you know, Al Horford, they all let these guys go. And so, you know, Mike, although landed on his feet beautifully, that to me in this past offseason might have been the best job opening in terms of the coaching because you had a player to work with in Antetokounmpo, and I think the coaches were lined up from here to, you know, Milwaukee in terms of their interest. But the thing there is I think Milwaukee made a great hire because Mike has done wonders with their offense. He's really expanded their offense in terms of three-point shot. He still wants them to attack. We see they're lethal getting in the paint. But you know, with guys like even Malcolm Brogdon raises his level. So, and defensively, they do a really good job. They're long and athletic. So, those are the keys, I think, to the Bucks' rise. And, you know, they did get to the first round of the playoffs, took Boston to a game seven last year under Joe Prunty, but couldn't get over the hump. And now we're all expecting, at least I am, with Mike, the addition of Mike Budenholzer, they could be a team that gets deep in the playoffs this year.
Mitch, did you believe the hiring of Coach Bud would trigger this kind of improvement? It's been massive.
I actually did. I thought, obviously, when you looked at the key offseason moves in the NBA, it all started with LeBron James going to the Lakers, right? We all know that was going to be the most significant move. That could tilt the landscape because LeBron's still the number one player in the sport. And we saw, until he injured his groin, you know, on Christmas Day, where he had the Lakers went in third or fourth place. And what he means to that team in terms of getting the young players under his wing and showing them how to win. And I really thought the second most important move, really, I know Kawhi went from, you know, San Antonio to Toronto, but, you know, he might be on the move again. We'll see this summer. But I really thought the Mike Budenholzer coaching move might have been one of the top five moves because he's an excellent coach. I think they needed that in Milwaukee. You know, nothing against Jason Kidd and the guys that they've had over the last couple of years, but it's kind of been a revolving door there a little bit, and they needed some stability, and they needed a guy who really knows what he's doing, and they brought in Mike Budenholzer, so I thought he'd make a difference.
Mitch, did you think, or, you know, talk to us about as far as how he has helped Giannis improve. What have you seen?
Well, I mean, you know, Giannis's game is, you know, people want him to shoot more on the outside.
Right.
You know, I think his big thing with Giannis is just instilling in him the need to be, you know, carry himself the way an MVP should and be on the attack as much as he can and to really be more of a force at all times and not have the ebbs and flows that sometimes we've seen in the past. So I think Giannis has done a good job. I think that's part of the maturation process anyway. But I think, look, when you bring in a guy who is worked closely with, you know, guys in San Antonio who you saw in the past who could be difference makers, especially Tim Duncan, that's great for Giannis to lean on him to get that type of knowledge and input. Now, he'll have to do it himself. But I think the big key for him is Bud didn't have to tell him that he needed to get in the gym and work. You know what? I mean, he's a guy who's going to try to expand his game. That's what you want to see in these type of players.
Mm-hmm, yep.
So I think Giannis will do that on his own. But obviously having Mike there, he worked with Duncan, he worked with all the great Spurs. That's going to be a big, big deal for Giannis going forward.
Hey, just a few more minutes tonight. Mitch Lawrence, give him a follow on Twitter, Mitch_Lawrence. Also at Sporting News and Forbes, some of his columns, SiriusXM NBA Radio. One of the questions I wanted to ask you tonight is talk about some of the most impressive rookies this year. And let's start off, hey, we've hit on briefly as far as Houston and San Antonio. What's going on with the Mavericks? I mean, should they be at the bottom of the Western Conference? I mean, the second worst team, and you know, but they've got Luka. They've got an incredible starting five.
Well, you know, it really, to me, the most impressive thing is that Luka shows you he can be a special player.
Oh, yeah.
Out of all the guys in this draft, you look at Ayton, you look at Trae Young, you look at Jaren Jackson Jr., you look at Bagley in Sacramento. But when you see Doncic play and what he does on the court and how he sets people up and his knowledge and, you know, you saw this is the player that who in Europe was a star against men when he was a teenager. And, you know, that's where you wondered if it was going to translate. Man, it's translated in a big way. Mm-hmm. Now, the Mavericks can't win on the road. They've got this ridiculous home road split where they're almost invincible. They got one of the great home records, and they can't win on the road. But they're a team that you look at and you go, you know what? They've got their big piece going forward. They've got the successor to Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, we're halfway through, and you can make the assumption, Alyssa, that he's the guy you're going to build around. So I think they're going to try to, you know, now play to his strengths in terms of surrounding him with players who he's going to get the most out of, and that's going to, you know, be their biggest success. Whether that's with or without Dennis Smith Jr., that's a big question. Harrison Barnes, the same thing. Obviously, Dirk is on his last legs here. He'd be the first to admit, which is kind of tough to see. But I think in terms of this year for Maverick fans who have been waiting for Dirk Nowitzki's successor, I remember hearing a few years ago from Mark Cuban, he thought it was going to be Harrison Barnes. Please,
yep.
It's not Harrison Barnes. It's going to be Luka Doncic.
Hey, he is simply the best. SiriusXM NBA Radio, our friend Mitch Lawrence, right here at SB Nation. Thank you so much, Mitch. We got to run.
Okay, thank you, Alyssa.
You bet. Much more coming your way here at SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Friday night, welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell, very excited about our next segment. Always got to take time to pause and recognize the folks that power all of us right here at the next generation of sports radio, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. And as promised, it is time to turn our attention to some men's college basketball, specifically here in the Big 12 Conference. And no surprise, Kansas is right at the top. That was the projections coming into this season. And we are delighted to have back with us, that is Lee Klein, host of That Bracket Show. Of course, debuted last week, already in its third season right here, SB Nation Radio. Good to have you back. It was great to listen to you last week, Lee.
Oh, it's great to be back and on SB Nation Radio. And here we go. College basketball takes center stage. They put the, you know, they put the pigskin on the shelf all across America. And now we just go on and have that excitement as kids return campus for second semester and college basketball hits its stride with conference play.
Okay, that's right. Here we are in the month of January, and so much focus has been on college football, but let's move ahead. So what is the biggest storyline in college basketball this season? What do we need to know? Get our listeners up to speed, Lee.
I don't know if this is a new story, but repeat after me. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
I'm clicking
my heels.
There's
no place like home. So home court continues to be an immense advantage. Probably, and we've seen it, you know, in the Big 12 Conference, as we, as you mentioned earlier in the show, Kansas, still a big dog there, though Texas Tech and our friends in Lubbock would bear to say that it's their year, and we should look at their 3-0 mark in conference, though they traveled to Austin, and they've got to play Texas, and we'll soon see if teams can get road wins in the Big 12 Conference. But the Big 3 and the Big 12 are amongst the best in the country. Kansas, especially with Dedrick Lawson, really stepping up with Azubuike on the shelf for the rest of the season. Iowa State, which lost a heartbreaker in Waco, and Texas Tech, as we talked about, with their exciting sophomore, Jarrett Culver.
Okay, we lead off, though, tonight talking about Kansas, and I just think back the other night, KU, TCU was on the road at Kansas. They were unable to come away with a win, but Jamie Dixon, he certainly has a very special group of players. Your thoughts on them?
They were right. You know, TCU was right there neck and neck with Kansas. It was a three-point game under 2 minutes, and then it's time to, you know, make a play, and quite honestly, just couldn't get the necessary stop that they needed with their Cedric Lawson. Quentin Grimes had a critical shot late. There was a turnover. And a couple of those little mental mishaps cost them the game. But this TCU team is a tournament-level team. They're sitting 12-2. They've got a big test as they go to Oklahoma, again, having to show that they could win away from home.
Right.
The only victory they've had on the road has been at SMU, not a far travel from Fort Worth. So now they go to Oklahoma, and we'll start to see how this TCU team is able to make the adjustment and recover from what I think that the coaching staff was a little bit of a heartbreaking loss. I think they really felt comfortable with where they were at, and they just couldn't complete the deal. Kevin Samuel, a freshman, in the pivot, really starting to come on.
Yeah.
Alex Robinson, the senior point guard, had one of his highest point scoring games. In Lawrence, we'll see if he could keep that momentum going as they look to travel to Norman and try to stun the Sooners.
You're listening to The Familiar Voice, host of That Bracket Show, just aired 5 to 7 Eastern Time right here on our network, the next generation of sports radio, SB Nation. Lee, connect with our audience. Where can they go and find you on social media?
They could get us on Twitter, at That Bracket Show. They could get us as well. You can go on to thatbracketshow.com. And, of course, for any of the show that you might have missed, go to Podcast Arena to That Bracket Show, and you can listen to without commercials. You can listen to all the shows, the past shows, and catch up with really the what's going on in college basketball.
Okay, so our focus right now, we are if you're just joining us, we are talking about the Big 12 Conference men's basketball. TCU played very well against Kansas the other night. Jamie Dixon, we had talked about him, but how much are they missing the play, the production of Jalen Fisher? Would they have been able to win on the road?
You know, one more horse in the stable certainly enables you to accomplish more. I mean, we saw last year what Jalen Fisher was able to do. They certainly could have used his ball control. They had 20 turnovers to 12 assists, which usually not a good recipe. They did shoot it fairly well from beyond the arc, 42%, 9 out 9 of 21. But for TCU, you know, they're not a deep team. They're only playing 7 players. They missed Fisher. They'd like to have him. And I think as they move forward, it becomes, again, this whole conference becomes a war of attrition. And that's why, when you see them going to Norman now, turning around on Saturday, we'll see, what fatigue is like, and can they get their foot back in there and try to move up this Big 12 rankings.
Hey, one thing I'll add about Jalen Fisher is that, when he is healthy, Lee, he's a real difference maker and certainly a threat from three-point range. I mean, he can light it up in a hurry.
And defensively, right? He
absolutely
very good on the ball defender. Also helps them with their defending beyond the arc, which is something TCU's done really well this year. 10th best in the country, holding opponents under 28%. So he's a key player. They need him. They need, as well as they need, continued development. So we'll say this Big 12 slate is no easy task. So, here's the opportunity for the Horned Frogs to start to get back on the winning ways as they go to Norman.
Okay, Kansas, Texas Tech, you were talking about Iowa State. We were just highlighting TCU. As we step back and look at the Big 12 Conference, what is your perception in terms of how difficult is this league? From what I understand, it is a league that has a lot of depth when we specifically talk about men's basketball.
So it's currently rated the top conference in America. One thing that we've seen, I'd say the two big surprises right now in the Big 12 are the following. West Virginia, which lost two tremendous guards to graduation last year, they are struggling. They're 0-3 to start the conference. They're 8-7 overall. So West Virginia, which has been sort of a Sweet 16 team and a team that's really been a signature for the conference, they've taken a step back. And the other team that I think we're all surprised about is Kansas State has started slower than we expected. Well, this is a Wildcat team that went to the Elite Eight. They've already had 4 losses. They're 11-4. They lost out of conference to Marquette and Tulsa. In conference, they lost to Texas and Texas Tech. I think we all thought this Kansas State team would hit the ground running and be amongst that conversation with the elite in the conference, and they haven't gotten there yet.
Hey,
but the top, that the Texas Tech, Kansas, Iowa State, Kansas State's got the next, they're probably the next most talented. Those 4 teams could play with any in the country.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday night. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. You can join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can email the show, info, eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. Our guest, we are so excited he's back at our network. That is the host of That Bracket Show, 5 to 7 Eastern Time on Friday nights, SB Nation Radio. That is Lee Klein, of course, talking about right now Big 12 Conference basketball. But also, I mean, what conference do you think is making a strong case to be the best in basketball? I look at the Big Ten. I don't want to digress too much, but I mean, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Indiana, I mean, they've got some pretty good teams right there in that conference.
Well, Big Ten, Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, these are 3 dynamic teams. The when we look at it, Purdue with Carson Edwards hasn't quite been as good as many people thought. but they had a lot to, you know, you lose four starters. That's a lot of adjustment. Wisconsin or Maryland are also NCAA tournament level teams. So you're looking at a pretty deep conference. Minnesota's played well. Iowa's played well. So that top part of the Big Ten, and one team which I really felt would be a tournament team this year is Nebraska. They haven't quite gotten there yet. They've struggled in the conference. But you're talking now a lot of teams that have the talent and the ability to be on the front line, be an NCAA tournament team. So that's 10 really good teams in this Big Ten conference. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out from the top level. But Michigan State and Michigan are by far the two teams to beat in the conference, and that you know, they continue to be on the top line, and we'll see how long Michigan can continue to be amongst the conversations of the nation's top teams.
Well, while we have you on the show tonight, Lee, we are based right here in Houston, Texas. And talk to me about Kelvin Sampson and his Cougars. I mean, they are rolling. How good are they? 15-1. Unfortunately, they lost on Wednesday night against the Temple Owls.
We talk about the American Athletic Conference. Houston had an incredible, you know, 15-0 streak, and then lost in somewhat controversial fashion at Temple, with an opportunity to tie the game at the buzzer and had an offensive charge call, which you don't see too often here in college hoops. But Cougars are as good as anybody at home and really have done an incredible job on the defensive end, one of the best in the nation. The conference up top is very tough. UCF is a legit team. Last year, if you remember, Taco Fall was hurt. Aubrey Dawkins was hurt. UCF, full strength, 12-2 in the early going. They're going to be a factor the rest of the way. Cincinnati's taken a little step back. They lost last week at East Carolina. But overall, when you look at Temple reemerging, SMU's a little bit better, South Florida, and years from now, we're going to talk about UConn and Memphis, because those are two programs that are on the rise and surging. So this American Conference, very difficult. Houston, probably as good as anybody, will have to continue to play at that high level. They've got a team in the basement coming into town, which is really interesting to be talking about Wichita State being winless in the conference, and they're coming into Houston off of Houston's disappointing loss. We'll see what shakes down on Saturday.
Hey, listen, I mean, the Cougars, they play an exciting brand of basketball. Your thoughts on just Kelvin Sampson, of course, certainly remember him, his days at Oklahoma at the Lloyd Noble Center, and I thought he did a fantastic job there, but just what he's been able to do with this program, and it is a program on the rise.
No question. He's been, you know, you're talking about Houston is now, when we talk about programs in the country, programs that have consistency. I think some people forget they lost at the buzzer to Michigan, a team that played in the championship game last year, and they came back and won 15 in a row to start this year, which is not easy to do after how last year ended. And they lost some great guard play, but they've been able to step right in and be able to play this top brand of basketball. They're going to be tested here. They've got Wichita State, which is desperate at their place, and then they go on the road to play two good teams at SMU and South Florida.
The college basketball conversations continues here in Hour 2 with Lee Klein, host of That Bracket Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to rejoin Lee Klein as we are zeroing in on the Big 12 Conference and men's basketball. Oh, it's our favorite time of the year. Lee Klein, he is back at our network, host of That Bracket Show. You've got to check him out Friday nights, right before the Big E Sports Show, 5 to 7 Eastern Time on SB Nation Radio. Give Lee a follow on Twitter at Lee Allen Klein. My final question for you tonight, we've got to carve out some time for this. Talk to me about at UCLA, they decided to part ways with their longtime coach who was in his sixth season, Steve Alford. Were you surprised that they made this move midway through the season? Why did they feel that they had to make this decision?
Anytime there are changes during the season, you really feel for the kids as well as the staff why something that dramatic. Why couldn't it wait to March for when the season ended? UCLA felt that they had a lot of talent and a lot still poised, you know, work that was capable of doing, and they proceeded after Alford was fired. They proceeded to win a couple of games. So maybe they feel that they still have an opportunity to save the season with a different voice with Coach Bartow at the helm. They've got talent.
Uh-huh.
Talent's never been a problem at UCLA. And
when
you talk about Chris Wilkes, who's projected to be a lottery pick, Jalen Hands, who's been, you know, the sophomore's been a dynamite player, Moses Brown, one of the most coveted freshmen in America. There's a lot of talent on this roster. So something wasn't working. They felt like they needed a change at the top, and now they've been able to pay some dividends with a couple of wins, and we'll see how far the Bruin program will be able to go this year. And I think one of the great questions that we've got to ask is, where's UCLA in the national landscape when we're talking about best jobs in America? I thought 6 years ago that they should have turned to Jay Wright. They went to Steve Alford.
Mm-hmm.
Now I wonder if a Jay Wright would leave a Villanova to go to a UCLA.
Still a desirable job. You've been listening to The Voice, Lee Klein, host of That Bracket Show, 5 to 7 on Friday nights, Eastern Time at SB Nation Radio. Good to hear your voice. Lee, we look forward to your show next week as well. Thank you so much, my friend.
My pleasure.
You bet. That, of course, was Lee Klein, host of That Bracket Show, right here, 5 to 7 Eastern Time on SB Nation Radio. Join us each and every week for all of our amazing guests and our lineup. And as always, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. And, of course, join us at Twitter @eRadioSports. So long, everybody.